Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see everybody here on this Lord's Day. As announced, Brother Bud's here, and that's a good thing to see him out and about too. But there are some that have not been able to be out with us for a while because of surgeries and recovering. We're glad you're here too. And if you're visiting with us this morning, I invite you to open a Bible with us as we look at some things this morning that concerning first principles of salvation. And I want you to think for a moment about an illustration that I'm about to give you. You probably, if you've gone to college or you sat in a high school class, you probably know that there's usually one student that seems to dominate the teacher's time and conversation and trying to answer questions. Well, it's true of this one particular college student. A rather talkative student in a psychology class, always dominating the things, and finally kind of interrupted the teacher and said, what can I do to improve the art of conversation? The professor just looked at the student and said, there's one thing. You must listen, and I will tell you. And there was silence. And there was a longer stretch of silence. The student didn't say anything. And then finally, in his impatience, the student says, I'm listening, Professor. And the professor says, yes, you are finally listening. Thing is, in life, that's true of many things. When we listen, we don't always listen with the intent of hearing what's being said. We oftentimes listen with the intent of responding. And when we do that, then we tend to interrupt. And what I think is true is the necessity of being a good listener, a good hearer. Calvin Coolidge said this once. He said, no one ever listened himself out of a job. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily 100% accurate, but that's not a bad thing to think about. But at the same time, what we should be able to do as children of God is we should be able to say this. We should be able to say, no one who hears what the Spirit reveals will ever listen himself out of salvation. Have you thought about that? If we truly have open ears, and you go back to Romans chapter 10 there for just a minute, and you see that hearing is a necessary process in this, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that if they haven't heard the gospel, they can't believe it. If they haven't had someone sent to them, then they've not heard it. So we know the necessity of being able to teach and preach the gospel, but we all have a responsibility here this morning. Do you realize that? In this particular sermon, I have the responsibility of trying to teach you in a manner that you will be able to learn. But you have the responsibility of hearing what is taught. And the same thing is true when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the gospel and our obedience to the gospel, you have to be able to hear God's word. Listen to it. Now, we all probably understand the process of hearing. Ron kind of joked this morning about not having his hearing aids. But we all understand that as I'm talking, I'm producing some sound waves. What it's doing is it's going in, hopefully not one ear and out the other, but it's going into your ear. It's reaching the eardrum through that ear canal into the eardrum. That eardrum then sends vibrations to three little bones in the ear who then send a message to the cochlea and up to the auditory nerve that goes to the brain. We probably understand that process of hearing, don't we? And we also understand that somewhere along the way, the older we get, that begins to diminish a little bit. Cindy and I can be sitting in the living room. She can be talking to me or I can be talking to her. And we have to turn around and say, what'd you say? We do that all the time. And part of it is selective hearing because we might be involved in doing something else. Or it's because we're now 60 years old and our hearing's not quite what it was when we were 20. It's been said that by the time you reach 17, the age of 17, that's when your hearing starts to change. I don't know the truth in that, but that's what I saw in some research. But I want you to consider this. Hearing is necessary. There could be physical defects that prevent us from hearing someone speak to us. A person can be born deaf. I understand that. And as we lose hearing as we grow older, I understand that as well. But the sad thing is, we can overcome some physical defects, but there needs to be some spiritual attitudes that we need to look at when it comes to hearing. When I think about hearing and think about what took place in the first century, I think about the gospel on the day of Pentecost being preached and people hearing that gospel. You go through the book of Acts, and every instance of conversion that you see, the word hearing may not be listed there, but hearing was involved because everybody was being taught the gospel. But what happens is that oftentimes, preaching the gospel, listening to the gospel, it doesn't set well with individuals. And it didn't set well with everybody that heard the gospel, did it? In Acts chapter 7, in verse 57, what you see are a group of individuals who have just listened to Stephen preach the sermon, presented to them. And what are they doing? They're running at him. They've stopped up their ears. And what does it mean to stop up their ears? They've stopped listening. They've turned they flipped the switch off of listening. And what we're trying to get ourselves to understand when it comes to the gospel, we must flip the switch on, not stop up our ears, not refuse it, not refuse to hear. Not being like little children that stick our fingers in our ears and say, I can't hear you anymore. But we have to understand that we have to be able to hear. Not only that, you look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, and you see that Jesus makes an accusation against some who are dull of hearing, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And what I'm suggesting about these first two attitudes, these are attitudes of choice. These are attitudes that we choose how to listen. And I really believe that that's very true when it comes to the gospel. Many times, no matter how pure the truth is that is presented to someone, they are going to make a choice whether to hear it and accept it or hear it and reject it. Acts chapter 7 is a classic example. Those people were rejecting the message that Stephen gave to them. But you keep going through the book of Acts and you come to Acts chapter 8 a little bit further down and you see the people in Samaria. The gospel was preached to them. There was one sent to them. They heard that message. Let me suggest that it produced faith in them so that they obeyed the gospel. And many of those people in Samaria were baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, same thing. Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless someone teach me? Well, Philip was the one sent. There was teaching that goes on. He heard the message. The Ethiopian eunuch obeyed it. You come to Paul and Barnabas on their what we commonly call their missionary journeys. And what was done? Preaching that was heard. And so hearing is often turned on and off. We flip lights on and off. We can do the same thing with our hearing. And we can become accustomed sometimes to hearing a sound and we no longer hear it. Have you realized that? How many of you can fall asleep with the TV on? You've become accustomed to that sound and it doesn't bother you anymore and you can fall asleep with it on. How many people have heard the gospel preached over and over and over again and friends come up to them and tell them, this is what you've got to do to be saved. This, obey the gospel. Jesus Christ can save you from your sins. His blood was shed for you on the cross. He was raised from the dead for you and for me, not just for me alone. How many times have people heard that and heard it and heard it and never responded to it because what has happened to them, it's just become commonplace to them and they know the friend's going to say that to them and they just, by doing that, what we're doing is we think about it, becoming accustomed to that sound and no longer hear it. What we're doing is we're choosing to ignore it. But when we think about hearing, there are some different shades of meaning of hearing within the Scriptures. Consider for just a moment That one is just that. We are to listen. Micah chapter 1 and verse 2. It starts out, "Hear all you peoples. Listen, O earth and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple." Listen. See, that's the intent of hearing. That was the plea at that particular time. And really, that's the plea that we have with the gospel, is we want to make sure that people are listening to it. Hear all you peoples. And then there's this idea of considering something. Acts chapter 26 and verse 3, but Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 probably says it a little bit clearer to me. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Hear the instruction of your father. What is he telling you to do? Is you pay attention to it and you consider it because it is valuable. And when we think about the gospel in that terms, we think about it in those terms as well. The value that it has to us. We need to consider what God is saying to us through his holy word. Then there's that idea of listening to be able to give an answer. And you think about John chapter 9 and verse 31. "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." What we're trying to do is, if we're listening to the word of God, we're wanting to be obedient to him so that he hears us. We want God to answer our prayers. We need to be obedient to him. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you're living in sin, this verse clearly states he's not listening to you. He's not going to respond to you. And finally, the idea of response. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. When you think about that, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." See, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter didn't just get up there. And I like to use this phrase because Cindy uses it with me sometimes. "Are you just saying words?" Peter wasn't just saying words. He was up there with a message that could save souls. And what happened was these people responded, didn't they? What was their response? "What shall we do?" When we listen to God's word, when we truly hear it, that should be the response that is elicited from us. It's not responding in rejection. It's not turning away from hearing God's word, but it's truly listening to it so that we can respond in an affirmative position and not one of rejection. But I also want you to consider this. There are things that we need to hear. You probably like to listen to music. You know, if you got your phones or your car radios, you might listen to Sirius Radio, or what, you've got a favorite radio station you listen to. You might even have a little iPod or something like that that you've got a music playlist on that you can plug into your car instead of listening to the radio. You might like to listen to those things. But what are we supposed to be listening to? Well, consider what is said here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. "Take heed what you hear." And that's true even when it comes to the gospel. We need to be careful what we're listening to, because sometimes what might be taught might not be pure gospel. We want to hear the truth, but so we need to take care in what we're listening to and what we're actually hearing. Acts chapter 17 and verse 21, Paul at Mars Hill. He's walking through there, and there were people there that had longed to hear something new. Well, is that what we're really after? Well, for some individuals, the gospel may be something new. What Paul was preaching to them on that day in Acts chapter 17 was new to many of those individuals. And here's the good news. They heard what he said. Some of those individuals would believe. Some of those individuals wanted Paul to come back and tell them more, teach them more. But then there were some who, even after hearing something new, were no longer interested. Consider hearing and what it involves in our lives, and what should we be listening to. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And here becomes something I think that tells us what we should be listening to. The Bible that you have in your laps or on your phones or in your tablets that you're looking at, man has put those in print, but those words that are contained within those pages, they are God-breathed, Spirit-breathed. And what the Lord has set forth, let us hear what He says. Everything that you see in the Old Testament and the New Testament was given to us by God. What you see in the New Covenant especially tells us about obedience to that gospel that can save your souls. And hearing it is an absolute necessity, because hearing it is going to produce something in you that we'll talk about next week. It's going to talk about faith, believing. But what we must be listening to is we must be listening to that Spirit, listening to the Son of God. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter is preaching again, and he's talking about Moses and what Moses told the children of Israel would take place and who would come after him. He says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.'" We're listening, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount right now in the chronological study of Jesus Christ on Sunday mornings in the Bible class. And that Sermon on the Mount, that's Jesus. What should we be doing? We should be listening to it, hearing it in such a way that we can improve our lives as children of God. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 says this: "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them." And this is at the Transfiguration now. Peter, James, and John are there, and they've witnessed something marvelous. And it says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Carl came up to me after Bible class this morning and said, "Everything just boils down to authority, doesn't it? God just spoke from heaven. Who's the authority we're supposed to listen to? His Son." And I look at this and I see that what we should hear then is the gospel, because it comes from God. It's that good news about Jesus Christ. And why? Simply because it is the power of God unto salvation. For who? For all those who believe. What do you mean? Every man? Absolutely. To the Jew and to the Gentile. The whole world. The gospel is for everyone. We have to hear it. And so from our text this morning, when we hear about the preaching of the gospel, and we hear about those who are sent to preach the gospel, and those who should be listening, when we listen to the gospel, what is it going to produce? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that authority, the Word of God. How important is hearing to our salvation? Because if we do not hear, we're not going to listen. So how should we hear? Well, Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, "Therefore take heed how you hear." Which, when you think about it, if we have to take heed how we hear, that tells me that there's a right way and a wrong way to hear things. How many times has somebody said something to you and you heard it wrong? You thought they said one thing when in actuality they said something completely different. How many times did you ever growing up as a kid or play that gossip game where it starts at one end with a line of people and it starts out down here, he's told one thing to say and he whispers it to the next person, and by the time it gets to the end of the line, if there's 20 or 30 kids involved, that the story's not the same. We have to take care how we listen. We do not need to be selective hearers. We need to be hearers of God's Word, and so we need to take heed. John chapter 1, or James chapter 1 and verse 19, here's the thing. Here's a method of hearing that needs to be listened to. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, Because if you look, continue listening to that verse, slow to speak and slow to anger. Listen with the intent of not speaking up. Listen with the intent of truly learning what God has planned for man. And then the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Improper hearing can lead to improper worship. Improper hearing can lead to improper sacrifice to God. Improper hearing is the hearing of fools, unfortunately. But listen with the intent that when we come to the house of God, when we are coming together for worship, when we're, you know, I love what Ron and most the people that make announcements say at the end of the announcements. Let's clear our minds of worldly things and concentrate on why we're here. Well, when we do that, what we should be doing is opening our ears to what's being done in this worship. We're opening our ears to the songs that we're singing because they're supposed to be spiritual songs that can teach and that can edify us. We're supposed to be opening our ears to the gospel as it's being read to us, not just from the scripture reading, but any time in Bible class or the scriptures that we've just looked at right now. But we listen with the intent then to be a doer of the word and not just simply a hearer of the word. That's James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are here this morning and you know what you need to do to be saved from your sins, and you do not do it, all you have become is a hearer only. And you've deceived yourselves, according to this verse. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. I put that up there twice on purpose. It's like you, what you do is you look and you forget. How many times have you stood in front of a mirror, turn around to walk off, and 5 minutes later you've come back in because you think maybe you forgot to do something to yourself. And you get back in front of the mirror and there you are. Everything was just the way it was. But you've forgotten. How horrible is it to forget what God has in store for you through His gospel, your salvation, and to not act on it? Hearing is what we should be doing. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 gives us an example of other individuals. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans? Why were they more fair-minded? In that they received the word with all readiness. They heard it. They listened to it. They accepted it. They acted upon it. And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. It moved them in their faith so much that they wanted to know more. They wanted to be able to verify what was being taught was true. They were listening to the gospel. So, you think about how we should hear, what we should hear, but when should we hear? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice. I underline the word today. And the reason I underline the word today in that is the urgency that the writer is giving to what he's writing at this particular time. He's quoting something from the Old Testament concerning the children of Israel while they're in the wilderness. Something that God has said to them through Moses, today if you will hear His voice. Whose voice? That would have been God's voice. In other words, listen to what He's commanded you. Be obedient to it. It says, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Because what happened to the children of Israel is they heard and they rebelled. What happened to the children of Israel caused them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness before they were able to enter into the promised land. What I want to suggest to you is today is the day that you need to act upon what you've heard. Don't go out into the world and wander in the world until it's too late. Don't go out into the world and harden your heart to what has been taught to you. The thing is, when you think about listening to God's word, you need to hear it in a manner that gets you moving toward God and obedience to His will. Why? Because Jesus is knocking. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, begins with you listening to their invitation to you. Begins with you understanding that what His will is for you. His desire is for you to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. A verse that we often use closing lessons and offering invitations is one where you understand it as Paul's writing them, for he says, in an acceptable time. When is the acceptable time for you to obey the gospel? When you hear it, when you believe it, when you're willing to repent of your sins, confess His name before the Son of God, before men, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. But when is that day? For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And so, it's time to stop. It's time to consider. Don't waste any more time. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to the invitation that Jesus Christ is extending to you? The song we're about to sing is quoting from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Are we listening? And if you've never obeyed the gospel, are you listening? Because that invitation and responding to that invitation can save your soul. If you believe, we can help you this morning. Because now is the time that you should respond. Won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.